I know. Christmas Day is almost here, so I promise to be brief. I do promise to be brief. I do hope you are all organized. Now, they were saying this morning in our morning services, if you weren't ready, you didn't have much time left, well, you really don't have much time left at all. I hope your presents are wrapped. Kids are all excited. All the food's in. Did anybody do what we do? So every year, we go 2 or 3 days out, we do what's called the Big Carter Shop. Does anybody else do like a big family shop? It just doesn't. We actually, it's the only time we go shopping and the kids can put whatever they want inside the trolley. We've ended up with, I think it's 4 chocolate spreads, 4 Nutellas. 4 Nutellas. It's quite impressive, isn't it? 4 Nutellas. I mean, we have lots of chocolate and Coke and everything that's unhealthy. It is. But we're actually feeling quite well prepared, I think, this time. Are we? Of course, dear. I feel well prepared. Perhaps Michelle doesn't. But, you know, it is a time to rejoice and have fun and celebrate together as families and also as church family. Just remembering all that God has done. And in these kind of few minutes that I have, I really want to, as it were, challenge you a little bit of where you are with the idea about Jesus. Where are you with the idea of Jesus? I'll just pray and then we'll get stuck in and I'll try and be 10 minutes for you. Father, we thank you that you are here. Thank you, Father, that you loved us enough for your son to come. And Father, I pray for every single person in this room that they may know they are loved by you. But Father, may they also know they have to do something about that love that you have shown them. Father, we have freedom to love. We have freedom to hate. And Father, the same is true with you. And my prayer is that this Christmas, God, that each one of us, as we look towards you, as we think about you, God, that we would have a heart of love towards you, not a heart of indifference or a heart wanting to run away, but we'd run to you. Enjoy all that you have for us, Lord God, as we follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I prepare this message without checking my run sheet. I have a run sheet. We have a run sheet for every service. It's very small writing. Just recently, I've needed glasses, which means this thing's pretty rubbish. Fortunately, in Lancaster, they make a big one for us so that I can actually read it. But I forgot to look at it and check the Bible readings. But as it happens, the two Bible readings that you've already heard are exactly the same ones that I was going to read. So isn't that amazing? So I was going to read from Luke chapter 1, verses 24 to 38, which talks about the birth of Jesus. I'll just read the first little bit for you, rather than the whole passage. It says, in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now, I know we're in church, but if we weren't in church and somebody walked up to you and said, I have seen an angel, what would be your first thought? I mean, seriously, would you go, oh, that's cool? Or would you go like, how did that happen? What did it feel like? But inside, let's be honest, inside, there would be some doubt that this person had really seen an angel. Now, if you read Luke, the beginning of Luke, Luke says that he has undertaken to draw up an account. And he says, then things that have been handed down by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of Christ. And what Luke's trying to say is, look, before I do the whole angel thing, I just need to let you know that I have done my research and talked to the people who are actually there. Which means, logically, Luke went to find Mary, the mother of Jesus, and said, I'm putting a historical account together, which is what Luke's gospel is. What exactly happened? Because how else would he find out that the angel was called Gabriel? We also realize that Luke didn't put everything down that him and Mary talked about. Because obviously the angel must have said, my name is Gabriel, right? And this real angel turned up somewhere in Mary's life and said, hi, I'm Gabriel, sent from God. Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. a supernatural, amazing being turned up in this relatively young girl's life. And I'm sure she was scared stiff about it, as all of us would be if an angel suddenly showed up. And obviously she fell pregnant. Joseph didn't reject her. They stayed engaged. Her cousin, we think, Elizabeth, had a baby. And then a census was called. And in Luke chapter 2, Luke records that that Caesar Augustus called issued a decree that a census should be taken. And then Joseph went with Mary, slowly but steadily, on the back of a donkey. They were great ears, by the way, Dave. We were all impressed with your ears. And made their way slowly to Bethlehem. It took them so long, there's no room left for them anywhere at all. But eventually they found an inn. And then, once she'd had the baby, Luke records, and we presume he talked to some of the shepherds, right? Some of the shepherds will still be alive. He went to talk to the shepherds and say, what happened? It says in verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest on heaven, and on earth peace for those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them, left the shepherds, and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which are just as the angels had told them. We have this another supernatural moment, an amazing moment. And Luke almost, kind of like the birth story of Jesus, starts with a supernatural event, right? And at the end of it, he finishes with another supernatural event. I think he's trying to tell us something. You see, all of us, most of our days, live in the natural, in the normal, in the things that we can touch and feel, we can see and smell, the things that we can hear, the things that are, this is a word we use, the things that are real. Do you see that? It's real things. I can touch it, smell it, feel it. It's a real thing. Luke's trying to say at the very start of his gospel message, there's something more than reality, our reality in the world. There's something supernatural in the world. And Christmas, and this is my title of this very short message, Christmas is where the supernatural and the natural meet together. In this story. And tomorrow when you think about Jesus being born, this was a greater supernatural event than it was a natural event. It was a natural event. A baby was born, but something supernatural occurred in this moment. You see, the supernatural is where we actually get the questions answered that rest inside every single human being. And if this is your first time in church, you will ask at some point in your life questions like this. Is this all there is to life? What I can touch and feel, is this it? What happens when I die? Is a question that all of us ask eventually. What happens to my loved ones that I have lost? That's a real question. A few of our relatives have died this year. And people around us who don't know Jesus ask the question, I wonder what's happened to them. It's a real question. We can't believe they've just disappeared. Scientists would say, they're gone. But something inside us go like, that can't be it. It can't be it. That can't be it. You know, we ask the question, why am I here? Is there a purpose for my life? Or is it purposeless? Again, the world would tell us, scientists would tell us, the world is, that we have no purpose, apart from maybe to have some more children and keep the human race alive. That's about it, really. But it's the mortal. And these are supernatural questions. Why? You can't feel them. You can't smell them. You can't see them. You can't touch them. And the Christmas story is as much about the supernatural as about the natural. And I just, as I read this story again this Christmas, you know, it says in verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, well, they could have said something different, right? They could have said something like,
By golly, that was interesting. Did you see that? That's that. No, we can't have really seen that shiny light. I've gone on northern. I don't know why. Anyway, but they're gonna go. That was weird. Maybe we had something. Did we all have something funny for lunch? Perhaps we've been drinking a bit too much tonight. And they could have ignored it. Could have ignored it. Or they could have sat around the campfire for the next 3 hours and discussed angels and mythology and all things weird and experiences they'd all had and not done anything about it. You know, Christmas is more about the supernatural than the natural. And the question is, for each one of us, have we ignored it? And is that all we've done with Christmas? Because you can. You know, Christmas, and most of the world does, it's just a celebration about something that they know vaguely about, but they ignore the supernatural element about it. Do you sit there and go, yeah, I pretty much ignored the whole Christmas story. Even though I'm here, I've heard the story, we hope you've encountered God at least in some way. If you've seen an angel, please come and tell us afterwards, because that would be cool. But you know, you have, in essence, ignored the Christian message, the supernatural part of Christmas. And lots of people do that. It's a real shame. Why? Because each and every one of us has a chance to encounter God. That's what Christmas was about. It's about God coming to earth in the form of a baby so that we could encounter God. That was the point of it, right? But we can't ignore it. And perhaps that's where you are. We miss out on all the favor that God has for us. That's what he says. On earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. That's what the angels said to the shepherds. But we can't ignore that. Perhaps actually we're more like the shepherds. I love the shepherds. I'm a shepherd at heart. And because what they actually say is, that sounds interesting. Let's go and have a nosy. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off. They rushed off to explore this truth. Hopefully, that the angels had told them to see if it was true. That's what they were doing, right? They thought, well, let's explore it. We've seen this amazing sight. Now, I'm sure the youngest of the group got told to stay there with the sheep. They weren't probably going to leave all the sheep. It was their livelihood, and somebody would have to take care of them against the wolves and everything else that might attack them. So somebody would have got left, but the rest of them hurried off to explore this thing, this supernatural thing that they'd seen and experienced. And that's a good thing to do. And perhaps you're in this room tonight and you say, I haven't ignored it, Pastor Ed. Or perhaps you have ignored it. I want to encourage you, explore it. Explore it. Have a look. Is this Christmas message actually true? Not just that Jesus came and born and died. Historically, that's a fact. But what the Bible claims, this supernatural appearing of the angels, is it true? And I'm going to give you a chance at the end, as it were, to say, I want to explore this thing that the Bible talks about, just in case it's true. Because if it is true, it's an absolute life changer, right? Will change everything about your life if it's true. I actually believe the shepherds that were still alive after Jesus died and came back to life again. I have it in my heart, I have no scriptural proof at all, but I have it in my heart. You know those 3,000 disciples, those 3,000 people that made decisions on the first message ever that Peter gave after the day of Pentecost, I think there's one or two shepherds in that mix. I just believe somewhere inside me that God engineered it so that some of those shepherds, all those years later, 30-odd years later, were in Jerusalem worshiping God. Peter gave his message and they went, this is what Jesus, that was the baby I saw those 30 years ago. Peter, I want to be part of this brand new Christian faith. I'm in. Why? Because they explored it. And as you explore, I want to let you know, your questions will begin to get answered. Why you're here will get answered. Do I have a purpose? Will get answered. Is there more to life than this? Will get answered. Is death the end? Will get answered. And those supernatural questions that you have inside your heart and soul that every human being has will begin to get answered as you begin to explore it. If you ignore it, you won't. You'll wonder for the rest of your life. But as you explore it, those questions begin to get answered. You go, oh. Now, the shepherds didn't have chance. But as Jesus, you know, lived out his life and the supernatural events kept going, remember, he raised people from the dead, turned water into wine. He had healings and miracles, feeding the 5,000, all kinds of crazy supernatural things happened. And then he died, and then he came back to life again, which was the most supernatural thing that ever happened. And you see, we can ignore the supernatural, we can explore the supernatural, or we can embrace it. Acts chapter 2, Peter says this in verse 32. He said, God has raised this Jesus, this baby, to life. And then he says this, we are all witnesses of it. All the time of the disciples, there was with him, maybe 100 of them. We are all witnesses of this. He's been exalted to the right hand of God. He's received from the Father, that's God himself, the promised Holy Spirit, has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not send his kingdom, nor send heaven. Yes, he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, this baby Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. The disciples embraced Jesus. They embraced the supernatural. And in it, they walked into a relationship with God. All their questions answered. And they saw miracles and so much more as they embraced all that God had.